selective outrage among Washington Democrats when it comes to Medicaid. They're upset when Trump cuts it, but they're silent when they cut it. And joining me here on The Morning Ride to talk about what the Washington Democrats have been up to regarding cuts in this state in Medicaid is Representative Travis Couture, Republican state representative from Mason County. He lives in Allen, there, not too far from Belfair. Hi, Representative Couture.
Hey, good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for alerting me to what you and some of your colleagues have discovered about the latest state budget money. And the short answer is that Democrats were complaining that the Trump administration ended up slashing, what, roughly $750 million, something along those lines. But now the state Democrats have ended up cutting Medicaid to the tune of about the same amount in this state. How did this information come about? How did you discover this cut to Medicaid here in the state?
Yeah, I mean, you know that at the end of the last session, they passed, you know, the largest budget in state history with the largest tax increases in state history. And, you know, for the fourth straight budget in a row, we plan to spend more than we take in revenue. And, you know, of course, they did make some cuts along the way, but then they went and, you know, increased new spending by 8%. And so, you know, it was passed fast and furious, kind of like in the last day of the session. And at the last minute, you know, Republicans in Olympia got like less than 24 hours to even read a 1,364-page budget bill before it was even passed. And, of course, we all voted no. And we knew that there was Medicaid cuts in there, but it was hard to really quantify in all the areas where Medicaid reimbursements happen. And so I asked the nonpartisan Office of Program Research, their nonpartisan research group that worked for all legislators, Republicans and Democrats in Olympia, to quantify the Medicaid cuts. It took months and months and months, but finally we got those numbers back, and I was completely shocked, Phil, because I thought that at best we were looking at Medicaid cuts of maybe somewhere around $200 million over 4 years. Mm. But what it ended up being is over $780 million in 2 years. Ooh. And so over three-quarters of $1 billion in just 2 years alone. And as we look across the political landscape, we see Bob Ferguson and his Democrat allies, you know, really pointing the finger at Trump and the Big Beautiful Bill, or H.R. 1, as we call it, mm-hmm. and for a lot of these Medicaid cuts. But the truth is that a lot of the H.R. 1 stuff doesn't even come into effect until 2027, 2028.
Well, and so a lot of that also revolved, yeah, a lot of that at the federal level also revolved around people that might be capable of working to support themselves as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the Big Beautiful Bill, the quote-unquote cuts are basically, you know, assumptions made by bureaucrats about how many people might fall out of those work requirements or how many illegal immigrants won't be served by Medicaid anymore as a result of these federal policies. But the Democrat cuts were pretty straightforward. They hit general medical services for U.S. citizens, and they hit long-term care, and they hit people with disabilities and nursing homes all the way across the board. I mean, they're not going after, you know, stronger work requirements or something, and right. They're not going after, you know, illegal immigrants who are in the system, and they're not cutting away transgender surgeries or something like that. I mean, no, they just cut straight across the board some of our most vulnerable, low-income, health-complicated groups in Washington state. And the biggest disgusting factor for me mm-hmm. that really gives me the ick, Phil, about this is that what did they do with the money they cut from Medicaid in Washington state from those groups? They turned it around predominantly into pay increases for politicians and bureaucrats in Olympia. I mean, I just can't think of anything more disgraceful than cutting healthcare access and funds to low-income and groups with, like
disabled
elderly,
and
disability,
senior, or what you mentioned
and
earlier,
using it exactly and using it to pay yourself more. I mean, it's unconscionable.
Do you know which state workers or divisions or departments or agencies it's going to, or is it just kind of a smattering?
Well, they cut that over three quarters of a billion dollars, and then they kind of just turn the cash around into employee compensation and CBAs and new raises, including raises for politicians and politicians like me, honestly. And so, you know, I would have rather not got a pay raise myself. It was outside of my hands, but and I would have rather cut more waste from our state budget. But instead, we got the largest tax increases in state history, cuts to our most vulnerable people. I mean, hell, they even robbed child support from single mothers on the edge of poverty.
Wow.
And then they used it predominantly to give pay increases to bureaucrats and politicians. And so I like to say that the only winners in this budget were politicians, bureaucrats, and criminals.
Talking to Republican State Representative Travis Couture from Mason County and Allen, and he just received the results of an information request from the Nonpartisan Office of Program Research here in the state of Washington about how much money was cut from Medicaid programs in the state by the state legislature and Governor Bob Ferguson earlier this year. It turned out to be $782 million that was going to be cut from Medicaid in the state. And he's explaining to us where that money has now been shifted to in the state budget. Hospitals are going to feel the brunt of this, too. Can you begin to explain a little bit of how hospitals are going to be impacted by this cut that the Democrats and Governor Ferguson made?
Yeah, so of course, you know, when they cut Medicaid at the state level, they also basically relinquish the federal match dollars that come along with those Medicaid dollars in the state. So it's kind of a double whammy. And one of the first places that gets hit and feels it the hardest is our hospitals, especially the rural ones, the critical access hospitals. The same ones that Bob Ferguson and his Democrat allies are saying, you know, would be absolutely shuttered as a result of H.R. 1. But, you know, Washington hospitals for years now have been on life support. I mean, we're talking before H.R. 1 was even a glimmer in Donald Trump's eye that, you know, Washington hospitals were looking at a $4 billion loss in our state. And most of our hospitals run on negative margins. And that's because of a lack of care about Medicaid in our state by Democrats, but also really terrible state policies that are crushing our hospitals. And you know what? Having all the Medicaid funding in the world doesn't even help if you don't have a hospital to go to.
Have the Democrats talked at all about how to handle some of this uncompensated care? I'm guessing that's part of what underscores this $4 billion combined losses that you're saying the state different state hospitals end up having. Is that something that the Democrats ever talking about, of considering how much money they're capable of spending that they're not talking about, or are they actually talking about this uncompensated care aspect?
You know, we try to bring that up all the time because there's difficult to discharge, and you've got this revolving door with our high homeless and mentally ill population and drug addicted population going through this revolving door in our ERs and our hospitals, and not enough beds, and overworked staff as well. And so you can only have as many beds as you can staff.
Yep.
And so it's really a downward spiral that we're experiencing right now. But instead of looking at real solutions to fix that, instead what they do is ask hospitals to do more with less money than they already do right now. And they put in place policies and funding mechanisms to actually continue down the path that we've been going devastatingly for years now. And one of the problems with that, Phil, is that, you know, not only are these hospitals in the hole and operating on negative margins, but, you know, they just can't keep up in with the policies of the Democratic Party here in Washington State. They're one of the few entities that got tax increases and funding cuts. Mm. I mean, it was a double whammy to them. And so now those funding cuts and those tax increases are going to cost hospitals ongoing at least $100 to $200, maybe even $300 million a year, somewhere in that range. And it's just going to get worse. And we don't want our critical access and rural hospitals to close down. They're hubs of our community. We absolutely need them. But we don't want any of our hospitals to close. And we don't want a lack in access of health care and services either for our residents. And so to point the finger at the federal government, even though nothing has truly even happened until at least 2027, I mean, there are $0 cut from the federal government in Medicaid as of right now. Mm-hmm. But the Democrats have already cut almost $1 billion in just 2 years. And if you think about it in 4 year cycles, it just gets even worse.
Yeah, $750 million is what State Representative Travis Couture is talking about to Medicaid cuts by the state Democrats and the governor, Bob Ferguson, here in this state. And there's really no opportunity to address this until we get to another legislative session come January of 2026, right? So 4 or 5 months away.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The next thing I want to ask the representative about is something that's going to be on Bob Ferguson's plate now, coming from the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi. And the Attorney General basically telling Bob Ferguson and Attorney General Nick Brown, you're hereby notified that your jurisdiction has been identified as one that engages in sanctuary protection policies, and giving the governor and attorney general until tomorrow, Tuesday, August 19th, to submit a response to this Attorney General Pam Bondi letter that confirms your commitment to complying with federal law and identifies the immediate initiatives that you are taking to eliminate laws, policies, and practices that impede federal immigration enforcement from working with local immigration, or local, rather, law enforcement. And Representative Couture, this letter came the direction of the Attorney General and Governor in Washington State here over the weekend. What did you think after Attorney General Pam Bondi sent that to Ferguson and Nick Brown?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple thoughts. My first thought is that, you know, it just seems like Bob Ferguson and the Democrats here in the Washington State Legislature are just continuing to goad the federal government into taking our federal funds away, whether it be for sanctuary policies or, you know, males and girls sports or whatever it may be. It always seems like they're trying to, you know, tiptoe up to that line in order to goad, you know, the Trump administration, the federal government, into Washington to have this fight. And, you know, as a state legislator, you know, I see all the devastation of the Democrats' budget and all their policies that were passed in the last couple of years, especially on a range of topics. I mean, rent control, striking workers, you know, gun-related confiscation, you name it, right? But at the end of the day, I think that the only thing, and I think the polls bear this out as well, the only thing Bob Ferguson has is to be able to go and have a war with Trump, right, to his constituents. It's the only reason they actually like him by the polls. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they actually deep down like having these fights. But once again, the federal government has the power to enforce immigration policy and immigration laws in this country. And so it kind of seems insurrection-y, you know, that Bob Ferguson would actively flout federal law and federal law enforcement like this. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't just like over the weekend I saw that there was a criminal illegal alien, a convicted child molester in Washington DOC prisons over in Spokane. And typically what would happen is once that person is released from prison, the DOC would immediately notify ICE and ATF and the U.S. Marshals, and they would just come pick them up at the door and deport them where they belong, not in our country if you're a convicted child molester. But this criminal alien was just released into the streets, forcing ICE to have to go do an at-large warrant and then go capture him all over again so that they can deport him. And so Bob Ferguson likes to say that he's protecting law-abiding Washington citizens. Well, one, that's not a Washington citizen. That's an illegal alien. Yeah. And two, that person is not law-abiding. They're a convicted child molester. So who the hell is Bob Ferguson actually protecting here? And that's what I don't seem to understand. By and large, the targets of ICE and federal immigration authorities are violent criminals or people who have conducted disgusting crimes against children or drug trafficking. And our streets are actually more safer because of Donald Trump and Republicans and ICE at the federal level than under Bob Ferguson over the last however many years he's been in state office.
Right, as the attorney general before becoming a governor. And one of the other things that the Democrats are trying to conflate here is that non-criminals are being arrested and deported. And what they mean when they say that are people that are here that overstayed a tourist visa, overstayed a student visa, and things like that. And that's because they're in a database. I need to, I think, restate this so that people understand what's going on here. They're in a database. The immigration officials have this information of this person, this person, this person came here on this visa. Are they still here? Did they leave? If they didn't leave, yeah, they're going to find out how to get an arrest warrant for them, and they're going to be able to arrest that person that, quote unquote, didn't commit a crime, didn't break the law, but they are here illegally, and that's because they consented to come here. They put their name and identity into a database, and then, of course, when everything expired, they can be removed from the country, and that's what the Democrats are complaining about now. So, Representative Couture, thank you very much for all your extra time here on this. We're going to see what happens with this showdown between the Attorney General Pam Bondi and Governor Ferguson for the sanctuary status protections that we have in this state. Thanks for being on the show. We'll keep our ear to the ground about what you're up to next, okay?
Thank you. Keep rocking, Phil.
All right, thanks.